Good morning.
Good morning. It is 10:12 a.m. here on Wednesday, November the 20th, 2024. On the high plains east of the Rocky Mountains in Greeley, Colorado. If I can keep this together here this morning. I've started and shut off the recorder twice this morning without actually doing anything useful with it. Yeah, 10 o'clock. It's a chilly morning. It was very cold this morning. It was 18 degrees. It's come up to about 30. And the temperature is rising really fast. The sun is wonderfully warm. Blue sky morning. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. So, yeah, today's the 20th. It's not a day divisible by three, so I need to walk. I suspect that, in spite of the fact that I have one day in the bank, I think I've only skipped 5 days so far this month. And as of the 18th, I was budgeted to have missed six, but that's aggravating. Leaf blower. But I'm sure the weather is going to turn against me at some point, so I'm going to leave that one in the bank if I can manage it. Oh, for fuck's sake, dude. Yeah, big noise. So yeah, in theory tomorrow I could miss tomorrow, but unless there's some burning reason why I need to, I'm gonna try to bank a second day. If it snows, I'm gonna miss at least one, if not two. And I really do want to get my 40 miles in this month. If I can get 40 miles a month, that's pretty good. It's a lot better than I've done so far this year. Let's put it that way. So we'll see what we can do. Heard a lot of geese this morning. A lot of geese moving around mid-morning. Several long strands. It was interesting to see two strands coming together to form one flock. And they were talking to each other to get themselves organized. And they don't seem to talk as much when they're not. When they're already moving along. There's a band of clouds off to the southwest. It's not entirely clear. But I don't see any other clouds around. Just that one band. And it goes all the way over to the southeast. So. There's much too much volume for it to be like contrails or anything. Interesting. So, beautiful morning. Cold. It's November. One would expect cold. Oh, there. Come around the corner into the full sun. Immediately warm up. Ah, that's better. So I don't have a lot to talk about this morning. It's involved in a writing discussion about genre and whether it was helpful or constraint or something like that. And it's like, it's both. And I use the term genre and category interchangeably, and I'm not sure that's the way other people use those two terms. I'm not convinced that's the case. Just some of the responses are, well, fantasy is all Tolkien. No. That's not my experience. So, what is it that makes you think that? I should go back and talk to that guy about that, because it's like, yeah, one of the sub-subcats, one of the sub-subgenres in the taxonomy of fiction. It's interesting. It's like, how do you break down that taxonomy? Is it by content or is it by form? And I think there are probably two, at least two different ways to categorize fiction, short fiction as opposed to novels. I don't put poetry under fiction at all. Interesting. Is that a squirrel's nest up there? It looks like. Right at the top of one of these trees, right at the very top, there's a whole bundle of leaves. It's a squirrel's nest. I'm walking down the street so I could get a little more sun. I better not, because this car's coming. But it's interesting to see how people view genre as something unacceptable. It's like, no, I want to write what I want to write. Well, write what you want to write. And when you get done, it's going to fall into some category or other. You can't. You can't write a novel that doesn't fall into one of the categories. If it doesn't fall into one of the recognized genres, it comes out as lit fic, literary fiction. Easy. Easy as that. So whether you accept it or not, it's sort of like, well, I'm not going to be a human being. I'm going to be something else. No, you're not. You're going to be a human being. Now, whether you turn out to be hippie or a Nazi, that's sort of up to you. But those are still human beings. Whether you're going to be a parent or not, that's up to you. But you're still going to be a human being. If you're going to write a novel, it's going to have a genre. It may have a collection of them. It may pull from a variety of them. It may be not predominantly one or the other. It may be a mashup. It's still going to be a novel. It's still going to be. And novels are, by definition, fiction. There is such a thing as creative nonfiction, but those aren't novels. You can write a book that isn't a novel. You can write a book that isn't nonfiction. you can collect things like short stories and put them into a book, which makes them either a collection if they're all your own work, or an anthology if they're all other people's work. The same with poetry. You can write a poetry collection, publish it as a book. It's still going to be a book. It's still going to be poetry. It's still not going to be nonfiction. It's still not going to be fiction. It's going to be poetry. Now, I am being too absolutist here. I don't know. It just seems logical to me. It seems like the most logical thing in the world. And yet, we have these discussions that come by every so often. Well, if you're listening to a book on audiobook, are you reading? And the answer has to do a lot with what your definition of reading is. If you have a strict literalist definition of reading, then you're talking about the ability to translate the printed characters from a page into words. Come on, I'm going to get ready. Say it with me. Monk post. Into meaning. So, yeah, the scratches on a page we have carry meaning, and you're translating those scratches into that meaning. And yes, of course, that's reading. But if you're talking about consuming a story, if you're talking about deriving meaning in general, whether it's through the squiggles on a page, or the squiggles in a waveform, or dots, raised dots in paper, whatever. It's the assimilation of the meaning that makes it reading. And failing to differentiate between those two is, I think, misguided. Transcoding the story into alternate modes, taking the letters of English and encoding them in Braille, or reading them out loud so that they're encoded in audio. Audio is difficult because there's a performance aspect of it that you need to consider as well. Sort of like, what's better, the book or the movie? And it really comes down to define better, and what are your criteria for that? And how does execution come into play? Which is the difference between reading the novel and hearing the audiobook. And is hearing the audiobook any less reading if what you're doing is assimilating the story, taking the story in? Are these questions even meaningful? Are these questions even relevant? Is it just ontological masturbation or something? If I listen to a story and watch the story unfold in my head, is that different from reading the page? Do not get me started on ebook versus paper. These people drive me batshit. It's the same group of people who want screens to be different. than books in the classroom. And I've whacked on this horse before. It's still dead. There is no valid research showing that classroom instruction is better, that schools are better than, pick something. There is none. Schools are always used as the yardstick. And yet there is no research that says schools work. There isn't any. It's one of the frustrating things when I hear about schools trying to deal with, well, we're data driven. No, you're not. You're not data driven because you don't have any data. And any data is going to be a no significant difference, NSD, media comparison study. You built a factory, it produces people who may or may not be indoctrinated in some particular knowledge base, some greater, some lesser. Testing doesn't test whether or not you've learned it. The only test that matters is can you use it when the authentic use case is presented. Can you use the information that you've assimilated? Can you, in fact, grow beans? Can you, in fact, polish your shoes? Can you figure out how much linoleum you need for your floor or how much paint you need for your walls? Can you use that information, or are you just learning it for the test so you can forget it and take the grade? That's school. That's education. It's one of the big disappointments, because school is about classroom control. It doesn't matter how you slice it. When it comes right down to the teacher and the classroom, it's almost inevitably about classroom control. Was one of the big things that I thought distance delivery, online delivery, might offer. There's no real promise there, but there's at least an offering where education needs a schedule, but learning happens all the time. The most learning happens outside the classroom, even if you're in school. Teachers don't like me to say that, but well, I don't know if teachers like me to say that or not. I don't know enough teachers. I haven't pontificated enough with teachers to get too far down that rabbit hole with them. It's just doesn't seem worth the effort. Doesn't seem worth the effort. That's interesting. That sign seems to have been painted at some point. The paint obscuring the numbers is removed, but there's still dribbles of white paint down in the margins. I've never noticed that before. I'm walking by the park. The park is looking quite wintry. There's a guy and his dog walking through the gully, over the bridge, through the woods, down amongst the suppose they're cottonwoods. Still a lot of leaves on the trees. That does not bode well if it starts snowing. The willows have a lot of leaves. They're both pretty yellow at this point. The crab apples are mostly red. where they have leaves anymore. It is quite lovely. It is quite warm. Of course, I'm overdressed. I'm dressed for 30 degrees, and it's probably pushing 40 at this point. Sun shining on my back. Feels good. I should remember to pick up the milk when I go in. Trash truck. Where did I put the phone? Here it is. So anyway, I did it. I made it. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.